Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. If I am not mistaken, I believe this is about the 9th program where we've been studying the story of Jesus, looking at the various events that characterize his mission and his ministry while here upon this earth. And now we're talking about some of the things that he did in Galilee and other places. And today we're looking first of all at a miracle of the daughter of a certain Gentile. Now, one of the few times that Jesus ever crossed the borders of Israel, he went into Phoenicia. That was near Tyre and Sidon. Now, Israel's history had been mixed with these cities. Sometimes they were hostile, sometimes they had been friendly. They were friendly during the days of David and Solomon. The ancient cities, however, had been destroyed because of their wickedness, but more recent cities had been erected nearby, but they were Gentile cities. But here Jesus met a woman who asked him to heal her daughter of a demon. Now, at first, Jesus refused on the basis that he was to do his deeds among the Jews first, but she persuaded him that even the dogs eat crumbs from the master's table. Well, Jesus, seeing her faith and seeing her humility, he granted unto her her request, and the daughter was healed. And then Jesus went into an area that's called Decapolis. That's a number of, about 10 little villages together. Decapolis was on the east bank of the Jordan River, and when Jesus went there, the Bible says he performed many miracles, and it was said of him, "He hath done all things well." Now, my dear friend, I suggest that that is a very fitting and appropriate commentary on the ministry of Christ. He hath done all things well. Now, not everybody thought so, but he had done well nonetheless. And another miracle was done that was similar to one that had been performed near Galilee, when he now feeds 4,000. Previously, he had fed 5,000, but this is a different occasion. Once again, the multitudes had followed him. The food supply was inadequate, but this time he commanded the multitudes to be seated. They had 7 loaves and a few fishes. That's not the same amount that he had when he fed the 5. So this is a different occasion. He fed the 4,000, and this time 7 baskets of leftovers were collected rather than the 12. So there was 2 events, the feeding of the 5,000, the feeding of the 4,000. Why, they were miracles that Jesus performed for the multitudes. Well, then he turned northward from Decapolis. Jesus returned to Galilee, but the crowd continued to press upon him even further northward toward Caesarea Philippi. And so he went there, being accompanied by his disciples. Well, there he taught them especially, warning them of what he says the leaven of the Pharisees. Now, what did he mean by that? He warned them against the teaching that was done by the Pharisees. And not only that warning, he performed such miracles as healing the blind and finally departed from the multitudes to be alone for a while with his disciples, his apostles. And once they were alone, he asked them a very important question. Who do people say I am? You see, it was very important for people to understand the real identity of this man. And various answers were offered because of the people knowing of him. Still, some were confused as to his true identity. Some of them said he was Elijah. They thought he had come back to life. Some thought he was Jeremiah, or maybe one of the prophets who had come back from the dead. You know, as a compliment to Elijah and Jeremiah and the prophets to be favorably compared with Christ. But Jesus then turned to his disciples and he asked them, But who say ye that I am? And it was then that Peter confessed, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, friend, with that confession, Jesus taught how he would build his church, and he would build his church on that rock of truth, that he is the Christ, the Son of God. And he went on to point out that even death and Hades would not and could not prevail against it and prevent its establishment. And he gave unto the apostles the keys of the kingdom. Nothing would prevent him from doing what he had come to this earth to do. It was so important that the people then, and that people now, understand that the confession of the Apostle Peter is the very basic foundation of all of Christianity. If Jesus is not the Son of God, then he's just another teacher, he's just another religious leader, he has no particular authority about him. But inasmuch as he is the Son of God, that makes all the difference. In his teaching, he foretold his coming death. He foretold his burial and resurrection. And to this, the apostles raised objection. They didn't understand what was going to take place. Then Jesus urged the coming event of one denying him and the necessity of taking up one's cross and following him. All of these things were embraced in the teaching of Jesus. He taught them to his apostles, and his apostles would later teach them to others as the Holy Spirit guided them in that teaching. But then we read of an event that took place recorded here for us in Matthew and Mark and Luke. It is so important in the understanding of the authority of Christ. Jesus went into an unnamed mountain. Now, commentators usually think it might have been Mount Hermon, but it wasn't named in Scripture, but it was near Caesarea Philippi, in the north part of the land of Canaan. And he took with him Peter, James, and John. It was there in this mountain that the Lord was transfigured, that is, he was changed, his appearance was changed before them. This meant there was a change in his face, and the sun and his garments became white as light. There were also in appearance two others, two majestic Old Testament characters, Moses, the lawgiver, and Elijah, one of God's greatest prophets and defenders of the law. These had been men that produced authority of God before other people. So he was here before very prominent people. And they, the Bible says, they conversed with Jesus about the things that were before Jesus the Christ. That would mean his death, burial, and resurrection. Well, Peter suggested that honor be paid to all three of them by erecting a tabernacle or a booth for each one of them. Mark indicates that Peter really did not know what else to say at that particular time. But about them a cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from heaven was heard, and that voice confessed that Jesus was God's Son. This is my beloved Son. Now, he had said this at this time of baptism, but this time there was something additional added, and this gives authority to the Lord. The voice said, Hear ye him. Friend, this is of tremendous importance and significance, because even in the presence of those of former dispensations and givers and defenders of former systems, God showed that Jesus Christ was the one of authority, and mankind must hear and heed him before all others. And just a short while after this event, Jesus told his apostles not to tell about it until after his resurrection. Well, they kept questioning him what was meant by his resurrection. Yes, obviously they didn't yet comprehend all of that that would soon befall the Lord. But then we see Jesus encounters a demoniac boy. while he was still here in Caesarea Philippi, there's a record of Jesus delivering another person from a demon. Now, the apostles had been requested to drive out this demon, but for some reason or another, they had failed to do so. And the lad was brought to Jesus, and he did cast the demon out. Now, just why the apostles were not able to do this, we do not know precisely. There may have been something very distinctive about this particular demon, but it is said of the disciples that they were not able to do it. And while it is said of Jesus, all things are possible to him that believeth. Well, we must remain somewhat uncertain about some of the questions that one might ask about this particular event in the life of Jesus. Now, as we study the life of Jesus and the story of Jesus, friend, understand, we do not contend we understand everything and the meaning of everything that Jesus said and did. There are so many questions that people can ask about our Lord for which the Scripture does not give answer. But we want to be cautious. We do not want to supply answers to questions for which there is no biblical authority. Men are so accustomed to doing this. They will write their theories and their theologies and their imaginations and their stories about Christ, for which there's not biblical backing. We don't want to do that. When there is a question that we can ask about a situation and there's not a biblical answer, just leave it. We don't have to understand everything, but we do have to understand what Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are conveying to us, and that is Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Well, Jesus left the territory of Caesarea Philippi. He returned back to Galilee. He continued to speak more often about his forthcoming death. He said that he would be delivered into the hands of his enemies, and his enemies would kill him. But he also forecast how he would rise again the third day. And this prophecy continued to perplex the disciples. They just simply didn't understand these things until after they had already occurred. But while he was in Capernaum, Peter was asked the master if he would pay the tax. This was a tax imposed by religious authorities. Jesus taught that actually he was not obligated to pay that tax, since he was, after all, the Son of God. But lest it create a disturbance and some additional criticism against him and mislead some, if he didn't pay the tax, and lest it cause some to stumble, he consented to pay the tax nonetheless. But he sent Peter fishing for the instruction that he receive the tax money from the mouth of the fish. And this was another miracle of Christ, of course, that he did. When we continue to study the story of Jesus, we're going to see some of the teaching of Christ that is so vitally important to us. And that's when Jesus teaches about equality that it seems it's so difficult for mankind to ever develop. And that is a sincere humility. Now, Christ was humble. He faced a number of problems as he approached the time of his death on the cross. And not the least among them was the conflict that was brewing among his own apostles. But he taught humility to them and to us. And Lord willing, we're going to listen to what he had to say about this subject in our very next lesson. We hope that you'll continue to study with us the story of our Lord. This is A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.